You know, again, when we started the concept, the whole idea was to try to bring some excitement around the game and obviously help give our brand exposure. And, you know, it definitely, I think, did both those things. When you look at how long Wilson's been in the business, 100 years, you know, always conforming products, we were very disappointed by the ruling that USGA made. We thought it was quite unfair. But, you know, I always say it like this. So our team is like, it's like in the Super Bowl, if you get a bad pass interference call in the first quarter, you know, you can argue, you can complain, but you either fix it and move on or, you know, or let it wreck your life. So
how did that all transpire?
Yeah,
I mean, what's kind of a time frame?
The challenge was because of the confidentiality, we couldn't go through our normal process with them of getting it to them quite early. The reason for that is we couldn't afford any leaks, obviously. We were paying a winner of this show $500,000, and the entire program was built around the fact that the last episode would have all this momentum build up. So if the driver leaked, the show was basically no good. Would have been over. So as we went up to the USGA before the final episode aired, when we had the full set, and the other thing is, you know, we were working on 9-degree heads and prototyping with all three drivers. So when we submit, we always submit the full line, 9, 10, 5, 12, and left-handed. So we didn't have all that till basically right before we were shipping. The windows were exceptionally tight. It was an aggressive and ambitious project. So could us be on the curve? We went up there, and they said there could be a concern, and that we should go do some homework and bring some things back to them, and we did that. And unfortunately, when they got to the end, they ruled plain in shape violation, multiple cavities in the rear of the club. This required us to make a cosmetic adjustment of shaving about 1/8 of an inch off the back of every sole plate. And that's, like I said, we've been in the business 100 years. We're a conforming brand. If anyone watched the show, we gave more airtime to the USGA rules and regulations about conformity.
Yeah.
We had Frank Thomas on the panel who wrote Plain
in
Shape.
That's what makes it so unusual.
Well, I guess there is. That makes it unusual.
You're not getting involved
with that one. Yeah, I would imagine there is another story. I don't know it, and I don't think I want to know it. But yeah, the fact that he was the author of Plain in Shape, you know, we were very confident based on things that had been approved in the past and things we had samples of that we were well within the Plain in Shape ruling. So very disappointed. But in all reality, it was a great learning curve. I think it was a great experience. The nice thing about it is the ruling came basically right at the holiday, and December is not a big driver sales month, so we've retrofitted our accounts, products are in the field, PGA Superstore, you know, Worldwide Golf, they got all their stuff. By basically February 15th, all of our Greengrass accounts will be fully compliant, and we're moving forward. But the show was great, the viewership ratings were great. We had dinner with Golf Channel last night to talk about the season 2 ideas. So
Iron versus Iron.
It was a big discussion. We'll be back down here very quickly to sit with them and ideation of what we will do. They think that, and I don't disagree, they do a lot of reality TV at NBC and Golf Channel. Their feeling was driver versus driver would be the right thing to do the second time, because the people who maybe had good ideas that were like, this, there's nobody's going to really give this type of money away. Now that Eric Sillis has been out and visible and interviewed, and you know, people know he won the money and he's got it. Their thought is that the ideation will be probably close to 10 times what we got in the first round, which means we'd be looking at probably 3,000 plus applicants. So the whole process is bigger, but iron versus iron was a topic. Wedge versus wedge, we talked about not really enough volume to make that show mathematically work. Putter versus putter is something. We even talked about golf ball versus golf ball, but again, no visible technology. That's really a technical thing. It'd be hard to bring that to life. So I think the most logical things would be a driver, a putter, or possibly irons.
So you just encapsulating you get the ruling that you're conforming during the holiday period?
No, we get that non-conforming ruling.
The non-conforming.
We get it during the holiday period. So it was about, from the time we were up there till we got the ruling, about almost 3 weeks later, which is not unusual. It takes up to 4 weeks to get a ruling.
Yeah.
So we got the non-conforming ruling, and then we went into action and basically started retrofitting the plates and resubmitted. And we had to obviously put DVD on the sole plate as a designation. And hence, we got conforming rulings on everything. 9, 10-5, 10-5 left, and 12. Like I said, Kevin Streelman playing it on tour. Ricky Barnes going to play it on tour.
So when did it become conforming? When was
the
it
ruling? The ruling. What happened is the way we had to go about it because we did them one at a time. So first thing we did was shave the nine. Nine went on first, so that was probably a week after we got the non-conforming ruling. Then about maybe a week later, the 10-5 went on, and then about two. And we were the reason to do it was we were retro-plating the plates. We needed the plates back to get products so that when we got the conforming ruling, we had stuff to ship. So it was part of the procedure. So it was about another 3-week window from the ruling to get everything on the list.
You haven't been legal for too long, then.
No. The left-handed went on Monday this week.
That's the last one.
That's the last one. Monday this week. And that's because it's a different tool to do the left-handed. The plates, all of the right-handed plates are the same. So once we had the model for the nine, it was basically every week one went on because we could modify. The left-handed was a different process because it was basically a reverse plate, which means it's different tooling, different milling, different printing. So,
how do you think it's going to go?
I think it's fine. I think, you know, we were at demo day. It was the busiest demo day I've been 20 years at Wilson. We were from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. It was people coming in, banging Triton. And, I mean, what was really cool is to watch the young, good players come into, you know, I mean, Wilson's a 100-year-old brand. We've had a history of great relationships and connections with golfers that are in the, you know, 45 and up. But what was really fun was with Triton, and we found it in our market research, the people that really caught on to the Triton and watched it were the biggest demographic was actually 19 to 35, which surprised us. Because that's actually even a little different of Golf Channel's demographic.
Yeah.
But the most viewership came from that category. But again, they're the reality TV world, right? If you think about it, they grew up, everything's reality. So I think a show connected to them maybe more than, you know, people at my age where they, you know, if you're in the 50s and you reality shows are kind of not something we really grew up with. So I don't really watch any of them, actually. No. Didn't even watch my own.
you listed a lot of reasons, and I love the confidentiality was in place as you talked about.
Yeah.
Was there any way that you could have gotten the product to them quicker? The USGA, we seem to sense from them that if Wilson would have just gotten us the product a little quicker, this all could have been avoided.
Yeah, I think, anytime you're, you know, I think there's, anytime you try to do something new in an industry, you know, I would think that there's going to be hiccups. There's no roadmap. I mean, I had 1,000 things on my list of things that I was worried about, but being that we made complying products for 100 years and never had an issue, I didn't think this. And we had Frank Thomas on the chair. I'll be honest, the USGA ruling was the last thing on my mind.
Yeah.
The absolute last. I mean, getting products here, getting, making sure the durability is right.
Getting this man on your panel right now.
Getting
there.
This man, Frank. Yeah, Frank, there's Frank right now.
Speaking of the devil.
But having Frank, I said, we're doing a conversation on the driver.
You'll get a bad ruling.
Yeah, I can. We got Frank Thomas. So there you go. So Frank, there you go. Frank. So yeah, that was time priceless. So yeah, so Frank on the panel, we knew we had expertise. We, again, if we did the show again, would we do it different? Maybe, but I will also say that
it was good.
I will also say that we would maybe try to get him involved earlier, but you know, there's also things, you know, that we weren't sure how confidential it would be.
Yeah.
Now, after these meetings, we definitely would talk to him in advance. But again, I still say I'm disappointed in the ruling. I think if you look at products that have been on the list, and if you talk to Frank Thomas, we can give you a whole list of products that have not exactly similar visual issues, but have breaks on the edges of the rear of the club.
Is Kevin playing it as a contract player? He should play it on his own.
He's
right?
playing on his own. Kevin's not a contract. Kevin is one player on tour. I don't know if he's ever had a driver contract. He's never. Anybody, he just doesn't. His
doesn't sound like he wanted one. I had a talk with him before all that stuff happened.
He's very much no. So we have no driver agreement with Kevin. He has an open. We have a staff member agreement that requires X amount of clubs in his bag, but driver is not in it.
And what about Ricky?
Ricky is has an incentive if he plays our driver because
he's due to bust through.
He's a talented guy. He's been kind of on the ledge. That's why he played very nice in the fall season. He's hitting the ball well. He's got a new coach. His swing's tighter. I do think that there's a good opportunity for him to go out and win. And then Brendan Steele's out there. Troy Merritt just put in the D300 this morning, which he texted me last night, and that was another surprise. We gave him one at the shoot. He doesn't have a contract on driver this year with his old contract, so he put D300 in today. So a lot of cool things. Ricky Barnes is playing the golf ball now, the FG ball on tour. So we got balls on tour, we got putters on tour, we got wedges on tour, we got irons on tour, we got hybrids on tour.
Tim, you're just not good for any news at all.
Man,
Tim, in one of your episodes, Patrick was on one of your episodes, and he seemed very excited about the drivers that he hit.
Yeah.
He made a comment, I can put this one in play right now. What about him? Is he giving this any consideration?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because with the confidentiality, we couldn't send products to anybody. So the only time like Kevin was able to test a product is if we were with him. You know, because all it would have taken would be one photo and it was over. So, obviously, with Padraig, the only time he actually had a chance to really be in the States and hit it was that week we did the filming. And then he was back across in Ireland for most of the winter. Played some European events, but then he was in Ireland. So, and then when he takes that little break, it kind of really takes a break. So he didn't really test it. When he comes over, he's actually playing this week, so he's hitting some stuff. But he still has a secondary agreement, so probably not an opportunity there.
Well, will we go out to charity events around town with celebrity athletes? Will we see one in Brian Urlacher's bag?
Yeah, you know, Brian is a funny guy. Well, we had it in, Fitzgerald. Yeah, he played it here at the Diamond Resorts. We were out with Kevin. He was playing golf with Kevin. He hit mine.
Yeah,
so we had that going. Jay Feely is called. Brian is in a unique position, meaning that I think he loved the product. He loved being part of it. He's at Scottsdale National Golf Club in Arizona, which is funded and owned by PXG Golf. So he's in a little bit of a position where it's hard.
Well, you had some celebrities come over and try it on that.
Had a bunch, yeah. I mean, some of those guys moved that golf ball, man.
My new club had a Wilson Day over there.
Yeah, did they?
Yeah, before you were legalized.
There you go, hey.
Tim, I hit it at another club over there. I liked it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. The alignment aid, in the rounds I've played with people, I hit more fairways in the few rounds I've used it. I wasn't sure the Lymanade was a good idea. Neither was Brian Urlacher. But once you got it on the range, and even when we were in Tahoe, that was really, if you think about it, the big swing was in Tahoe. The Triton and the Pivot were 1-2, 2-1 in every category. And what happened in Tahoe was, as people kind of hit the Lymanade, one of the biggest feedbacks is that's really a cool feature, you know, because it's like kind of that whole square you up thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny in an industry that has been around for, we've been here 100 years. It's amazing that you think about it, that it took somebody from outside of the industry to think of it. I mean, it really did.
Tim, with all the focus on Triton, is there any other Wilson products that are coming out that we don't
have? Oh, gosh. Yeah. We're always, you know, we're an iron brand first. You know, the D300 is just, you know, we got two gold hot list awards on our new V6 iron, which all our tour guys are now playing, except Brendan Steele plays the blades. The D300 will be the longest. It's got the flex face technology in it, second generation that started with our C200. So the flex face basically widens the sweet spot of the iron, gives it a much higher ball launch, and because of the power holes, which go all the way through the head, are filled with urethane, it gives you an unbelievable soft feel off the ball. So we got that going on. We have, you know, again, the Duo franchise, which is the world's softest golf ball in every category. You know, so there's just, you know, I look back in my 20-year career at Wilson, and to be able to stand here and talk to people and know I can go out on a range, and no matter what brand you may be favoring or playing, I have a product that I can give you that I really truly know is in position to either exceed your expectations or beat your current product. And that's a credit to a great team of people that work with me, and I get the luxury of talking about it. But from Michael Verska in innovation, Doug Thiel in marketing, we've done a lot of great things in a pretty short period of time in the industry.